Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be his kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, on this day you opened the way of eternal life to every race and nation by the promised gift of your Holy Spirit. Shed abroad this gift throughout the world by the preaching of the gospel, that it may reach to the ends of the earth through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were staying. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speak in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene. And the visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, rose his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all living in Jerusalem, let it be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoke ye miss. The sun shall turn to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the letter of Paul to the Romans. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we await for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify because you have been with me from the beginning. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I will have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Before we get started, I'm going to require of you something that the Holy Spirit requires of us all, and that is to step out boldly and follow the rule I introduced a couple weeks ago. No empty pews in front of you. Come on, come on up. Everybody, come on up. There's an empty pew right here, so somebody can fill this one in. But if there's an empty pew in front of you, other than the ones who are already in the front, come on up and fill in. You can still be in the back, but you have to be in the back in a pew that's none of which in front of you is unoccupied. Thank you so much. And like I said, this is my suggestion for all Sundays, but today it's required, okay? And you'll see later why, okay? There's method in my madness, I promise you. And Pat will tell you later why. Okay, thank you so much. When I was in seminary, we had a study of the New Testament. We had to take a couple classes in New Testament, of course. And Chris Bryan, who now teaches, or is retired, but he taught at Swanee after he left Virginia. And he was doing the lecture on source criticism, that is to say, in the Gospels, the Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the Synoptic Gospels, they're called. They've done a study of the different stories, the ones that are the same and some and whatever, And there's a chart with a bunch of boxes and lines. There's a source called Q that some of them use, and there's a source called M that only Mark used, and Mark had his own sources, and Matthew had the M source, and Luke had the L source, and Q was one that was more. It's all confusing unless somebody takes the time to spell it all out for you. But after it was over, and this is what was interesting, Ernie Curtin, one of my classmates, who was not there to get an MDiv and become a parish priest or anything, but just to study, theology, and Chris said, any questions? And Ernie raised his hand very smugly from the front of the room where Ernie always sat. Now, Ernie, mind you, was an interesting fellow. He was brought up Jewish and became Christian by way of a Baptist girlfriend, and that put him in the Episcopal Seminary. You know how it works. So Ernie says very smugly, I understand the boxes and the lines, the M and the L and the Q, but where is the box and line that says the Holy Spirit? Chris didn't take long at all, but he did act rather pensive for just a few seconds. He said, well, Ernie, I would imagine that if somebody took you and chemically broke you down, or they took you and they sociologically broke you down, there wouldn't be any box in line that says the Holy Spirit. But it's in you, boy. I hope all of you got to see that great Pentecost event yesterday. If you didn't, try to find it on a friend who recorded it, because yesterday was just the most glorious Pentecost, Eve of Pentecost, wedding I think I've ever seen. With all of the different blending of all the different folks, the types, all what the prayer book says, all sorts and conditions of men and ladies. Because it was so glorious to have a gospel choir and a black preacher and a black soloist and English and Americans and all sorts of people all mixed up together, and everybody in their finest. Might as well have all been wearing reds and had tongues of fire on their heads. All capped off by what a glorious sermon I'm so proud that our bishop gave, our presiding bishop in the staid old Church of England. There he was preaching the gospel. He talked about love and how love is great power. And it's power that is given by the Holy Spirit. I was moved, and I hope if you haven't seen it yet, you will be too if you do. Even if all you see is his sermon, try to do that if you can. And finally, I want to talk about what's coming up and a hint as to why I wanted you to follow my rule today. We're going to all say the Lord's Prayer today in a way that in the wonderful story in Acts, people spoke in their own language and all understood. Well, maybe we won't all understand, but we're going to speak it in different languages. And that reminds me of a story of when I was in the Holy Land, my probably only visit over there. And our tour stopped at a chapel and cloister on the site where it is believed that Jesus taught the Lord's Prayer. And all along the walls, both outside and inside of the chapel and the cloister area, there are plaques of the Lord's Prayer in as many languages as I think they could find them. And I said, wow, this is neat. I want to go find all the ones I know. So I made a point of looking through and finding, oh, there, you know, the very first one I found, you wouldn't believe what it was. This region's native tongue. I'm not talking about mountain Ewans. I'm not talking about southern y'all. I'm talking about Cherokee. There it was on the wall in what I think was probably one of the few, if maybe only, language of Native Americans. At least it's the only one still extant. It was written language. It was done by the Cherokee, for the Cherokee. And it just reminded me of how important the Holy Spirit is to imbue us all with this power and this love. Now, you see, I'm making my way over here to the pulpit. It's because I need a sip of water. But it's also because I would like to read you a story. And I don't really like sermons that are read, but I know some people do it very well. Now, I'm going to do my best with this, but it's important to get all the words as they were written. That's why I want to read it to you. It comes from a book that was printed, published in 1976 by who was then the dean of the seminary at Suwannee, Urban T. Holmes. And the only other fellow who came out of seminary from my diocese when I did, I went to Virginia, he went to Suwannee. He kept quoting, Terry, Terry. And I was always saying to the answers to the questions, well, this is what I think. But whether you quote somebody else or whether it's your own words, these are words that Terry discovered in a workshop that he gave back in the day based on this book that he published in 1976 called Ministry and Imagination. And you know it's that old when the cover price is $10.95 for a hardback, you know. But this is a story that was assigned to members of a workshop that he gave on ministry and story, image and story. And it's so rich and so full of the Spirit that I want to read it to you. Once upon a time, in a little village by the sea, lived a girl, a little girl named Lucinda. None of the people in the village called her Lucinda. They called her that girl with the red balloon. Lucinda always carried a bright red balloon, which was tied to a long silver string clutched tightly in her hand. Many of the people in the village laughed at Lucinda and her red balloon. Lucinda was just a little girl, however, and it was perfectly acceptable for small children to play with red balloons. When she was very little, Lucinda tried to explain about her red balloon. For instance, the red balloon was good for leading her somewhere, to beautiful fields, to the ocean and crashing waves, to a warm place where Lucinda felt love. But the balloon could also lead the little girl to dark, mysterious caves, which frightened her, or sad forests, which made her cry, or into the midst of quarrels. Then she felt great anger, but it all went together. The red balloon was also excellent for seeing. If she looked at her village, her friends, or the forest through the red balloon, she saw things that others did not see. In the beginning, Lucinda tried to tell others about what she saw. They laughed, and Lucinda learned not to explain about her red balloon. Lucinda was as happy as could be expected until one day someone said, "Lucinda, you are too old for a red balloon. It was okay when you were a little child, but now you are almost a woman. You must let that stupid balloon go and be mature." Lucinda held on tighter and tighter, but life became more and more difficult. One particularly difficult day, people were saying things like, "You are always over-dramatizing with that stupid red balloon in your hand," or, "If you let go that ridiculous red balloon, you might accomplish something." Lucinda then made a decision. She knew she had to keep the red balloon, but she could hide it. The question was where? It had to be close to her, but it had to be well hidden. So she hid the balloon inside her head. While this hiding place fitted the criteria for closeness and for secrecy, it had its disadvantages. It gave her a terrible headache. It was very difficult as well to laugh and shake one's head with a red balloon stuffed inside. It was also difficult to cry, to be afraid, or even to get angry. There was danger of the balloon popping out and being lost or discovered. To keep the balloon from doing this, Lucinda had to scrunch up her eyes, and seeing became very difficult. So while the balloon was close, it was no longer useful for leading or for seeing. People did stop laughing, and they complimented Lucinda on her new adulthood. She got married and had babies. She even went to work in an important job in the village. Her headache got progressively worse, however, and she almost forgot about flowers, waves, warm places, caves, forests, and seeing things through red balloons. One day, while watching her children through scrunched up eyes, she thought she saw something familiar in the hand of one of them. She tried and tried to see what it was, but she knew if she was to really see it, she would have to open wide her eyes. She knew what would happen if she did. But being a good mother and not wanting her child to have anything harmful, she did open her eyes. Just as she saw a red balloon on a silver string in the hand of her child, she cried out, and out popped her own red balloon. It looked so beautiful, and it felt so good not to have that balloon in her head anymore. She could see again, and everything appeared as new. So Lucinda decided to leave the balloon out in the open on its silver string. She laughed and laughed and laughed. Lucinda did not live happily ever after. People now laugh at her and call her spacey and childish and tell her she has no common sense. The red balloon does not always lead Lucinda to beautiful fields of flowers. Dark caves are there, as well as forests and even quarrels. when she looks through the red balloon, she does not always see happiness. But Lucinda did live truly ever after. And so I beg you to say with me, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Try it. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Will you please stand and profess your faith in me by reciting the Nicene Creed, now on page 12 in the bulletin. We believe in one God,
the Father.
The prayers of the people. Let us pray for the church and for the world. Grant, Almighty God, that all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Guide the people of this land and of all the nations in the ways of justice and peace, that we may honor one another and serve the common good. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give us all a reverence for the earth as your own creation, that we may use its resources rightly in the service of others and to your honor and glory. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless all whose lives are closely linked with ours, and grant that we may serve Christ in them and love one another as he loves us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. We pray especially for those on our prayer list: Margaret,
Jean,
Steve,
Nicole,
Courtney and J.R.,
Blair,
John and Joan,
Paul,
Marie,
Chuck,
Jimmy,
Martha,
Renee,
Jane,
Ryan,
Teddy,
Richard,
Regina,
Irene,
Larry,
June,
Michael,
Joe,
Laura,
Baylor,
Shay,
Ed and Pat,
Doug,
Ed,
Alberta,
Tom,
Angela,
Jane,
Tony,
Zach,
Betsy,
Michael,
Claire,
Georgina,
Joycey,
Russ,
Sarah,
Bill,
Martha,
Shane,
Judy,
Jean,
Richard,
Jackie,
Alan,
Audrey,
Pat,
Nick,
Morgan Ray,
Tony,
Raphael.
Lord, in your mercy,
hear our
prayer. Send your spirit upon this congregation and its leaders to call a new rector and prepare our hearts to receive this person. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Turn us unto your ways, O God, and grant us courage to encounter new paths. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Turn us unto your ways and make us lovers of all, opening our arms to embrace our neighbor's need. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We ask for intercessions.
Peace in Yemen, Syria.
We pray for the members of our armed forces. We give thanks for those celebrating birthdays this week, especially Judy Short, Andrew Greenwell, Trey Marsden, Chuck Johnson, and J.R. Hicks. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We commend to your mercy all who have died, that your will for them may be fulfilled, and we pray that we may share with all your saints in your eternal kingdom.
Especially the victims of the shooting in Texas.
Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty and eternal God, ruler of all things in heaven and earth, mercifully accept the prayers of your people and strengthen us to do your will through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Thank you.
Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God.
Rushing wind. comes a plane, 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 rushing plane, comes a plane. Who will tell the story? Rushing wind, tongues of flame, we will tell the story.
Your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, through Jesus Christ our Lord. In fulfillment of his true promise, the Holy Spirit came down on this day from heaven, lighting upon the disciples to teach them and to lead them into all truth, uniting peoples of many tongues in the confession of one faith, and giving to your church the power to serve you as a royal priesthood and to preach the gospel to all nations. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you, in your mercy, sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now let us gather around the Paschal candle.
Pater Noster, qui es in celibus, sanctificator nomen tuum, adveniat regnum tuum, fiat voluntas tua, sicut in cielo et in terra. Panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis hodie, et dimitte nobis debita nostra, sicut et nos dimittimus debitoribus nostris, et ne nos inducas in tentationem, sed libera nos al malo.
Gifts of God for the people of God. The body of Christ, the bread of heaven, the blood of Christ, the cup of salvation. Thank you. pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you today and remain with you forever.
Amen.
Amen.
Let us go forth into the world rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia. Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia.
And take the balloons.